You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show, go to kuci.org. This is In the Garden show produced by UC Master Gardeners of Orange County, California. I am Katrina Kirkaby, your UC Master Gardener host for the hour. This week's topic is going to be a lot of fun. This is an upcoming event at our South Coast Research Center, and it's called Saturdays at South Coast. And today I have with me our Master Gardener lead of that project, Brian Hill. Welcome, Brian.
Hello, Katrina. Thanks for having me.
Ah, so glad you're here. I'm really excited about this project. It's a fun project. It's a fun event for the whole family. And could you tell us a little bit, what is it, and tell us about it?
Well, it's we refer to it as Saturdays at SCREC, which we affectionately call the South Coast Research and Extension Center. And it's open to the public. In fact, it's a rare chance for the public to access this facility. I would venture to guess not a lot of people even know where it is. But it's 200 acres for the research for the UCI and UC Davis and other events. In any event, it's our, I can't call it every other month. We had one in February, our upcoming one. The reason we're talking today is April 2nd, June 4th, and November 5th. So let's just call that four times a year. And we're going to discuss different things, which we're going to talk about, like pest management, composting, tool sharpening. We have docent tours and so forth.
Well, Ryan, what I understand, it's just this really fun event where you can come by yourself or you could bring your family. And it is at the Research Center, which is kind of a cool place to go to because the public's not allowed in on a normal basis because we have a lot of research going on. But they make this fun event that lasts about 2 hours. I think we're doing it four times this year. Mm-hmm. And this one that's coming up will be April 2nd. And we're inviting everybody out here. And there's a whole bunch of different venues that's going to be happening. And hopefully there's something for everybody.
I think there is. You know, it's we invite the family. It's kids friendly. We have projects for the kids. It's a chance. We're going to have chickens. Again, we'll talk about these as we go through the interview today. But it's a nice place to be, great place to hang around, great chance to see what goes on at a research station. So, and like you said, you can normally not get in here.
And this month's theme is going to be what?
Seeds, starting from seeds and planting.
Okay, so it's for the home gardener, and we invite the public here and to learn about home gardening techniques and answering questions and learning. And we basically, the Master Gardeners, we're outreach to private gardeners. And so it's education for them, and they're doing a lot of fun stuff. Why don't we run through a few things that we're doing? I know everybody loves chickens. Why are we having chickens here?
Well, there seems to be more and more want for everybody you talk to. I'm lucky enough to have chickens. When I mention it, everybody universally says, I would love to have some chickens in my yard. So here's a chance to realize that it's not that complicated. We have a couple of ladies that just absolutely, they don't think of them as chickens. I think they think of them as their dogs. I mean, they love their chickens.
They love their chickens. The lady who heads this, her name's Terry, and she calls her chickens the girls. And she loves teaching people about chickens. So if you have questions about chickens, this is a place to come. If you don't know if your city allows them in your yard, you can come and ask Terry. She's got a whole list of rules and regulations and what cities will allow them and what cities don't allow them.
I've seen the list, and of course she'll share it with you, but the majority of the cities in Orange County will allow X amount of chickens in your yard.
And if you're thinking about having chickens, you know, chickens aren't right for everybody. And this is the time to come and ask questions to see if it's, you know, like you think about, is it right to have a dog right now? Is it right to have a cat? Well, sometimes you got to ask the question, is it right to have some chickens? Because chickens do take a bit of time. They give you a lot for the amount of time they take. But is it right for you? And this is the time to come out and check out what it takes to have chickens in your yard.
Well, once you taste those homegrown eggs, they're no comparison to store-bought. They're really, really good. And you get the manure, which is a very favorable type of material to use in compost. Composted chicken manure is very popular and very good for the garden. We're going to talk about composting in a little bit, but so you kind of got, you got the manure and you got the eggs. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Life is good.
I will mention, though, just for a fun fact, is a lot of people think you have to have a rooster involved, and that's what turns a lot of people off. Chickens do not need a rooster to lay eggs. They're bred to be egg layers. So you can just get away with 3 or 4 hens. That's all you need, and you're not disturbing the neighbors, because even though they may be legal, there is nothing more annoying than a rooster.
Indeed, indeed. And you don't, your eggs will not be fertile, but if you're going to be eating them, they don't need to be fertile, and it's a lot easier dealing with your neighbors and taking care of your chickens if you don't have the rooster.
It's best your neighbors, I mean, they know you have them and they're legal, but it is very disturbing, seriously. They start about 4 in the morning, and then they can just be annoying to yourself and to your neighbors. So we won't beat up on roosters any more than that, but just know that if you're interested in chickens, this is the place to be.
And you were talking,
know that you don't have to have a rooster.
Yes, and you were talking about the chicken and the chicken droppings, and why don't we talk about composting right now?
Perfect timing. Yeah, we also have composting demonstrations and vermiculture, which is worm composting. And you can learn how to compost, where to get worms if you're into that. They don't take up much room, and they really do a good job. And I'm sure if you're into gardening, you're familiar with worm castings, which are a favorable additive to gardens. So,
a lot of people don't compost because it seems kind of overwhelming to get started, and it really isn't. And what they can do here is they'll break it down for you and show you what you can do to make it really simple and how it works in your yard. And, you know, on our yard, I just take mostly my kitchen scraps, and I take my lawn clippings of what lawn I have left, and, you know, my leaves, and I have a great place to compost, and it's less green waste going out, and it's better for my yard. And they will teach you how to do that here. They'll give you demonstrations and kind of set the seed, so to speak.
Exactly right. So that's the whole principle behind Saturdays at South Coast is to kind of educate the general public on these different venues, composting being a very, very good one.
You know, a lot of people don't know what vermiculture is.
That's worms chewing up.
Could you tell them a little bit about vermiculture?
I personally don't vermiculture, but I've seen it, and of course we have it at the research station, and that's where they use red worms to digest or compost even newspaper, cardboard, lettuce scraps, whatever you happen to have, and they turn it into beautiful worm castings, just great for the garden.
You know, I don't do vermiculture either, but there's a lot of people that are into it. And it's a lot of, you know, the people who are doing it just have a lot of fun with it, and it's rich, 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 and it's super for your garden.
There's no labor involved, per se, because composting, depending on what you have, either you're going to hand turn it or spin a container or whatever the case may be, basically those little worms just doing it all by themselves. And then there's the occasional stacking and collecting the castings, but compared to composting, it's a great way to compost with less work.
Yeah, so a couple different ways of getting the same thing done,
yep.
And come here, see if it's right for you or not. What we're doing is throwing a lot of information out at you, and some of it sticks and some of it doesn't. And something may or may not be right for you, and a lot of it may be right and some of it may be right, but it's a here way to check it out and just also to see what people are talking about. Oh, and one of my favorite things you're going to be doing is tool sharpening.
You know, it's amazing how many tools you have around your house over the years, if you're even slightly into gardening, that have got rusty or old or dull, and then you buy a new pair and the other pair gets set aside, and next thing you know you have several but only a couple that you would consider the ones you would use. Well, this tool sharpening thing is amazing, because when you're done learning how to properly get the rust off them with environmentally friendly rust remover product, brushing them, filing them sharp, oiling them, once I learned how to do this last year, I realized I had 8 pairs of pruners. They all look like they're brand new. So I didn't realize what I was missing by not properly maintaining my tools. And you can, you know, do loppers, pruners, hedge trimmers, anything. And it's amazing. This is awesome. And we encourage everybody to bring one tool. And we'll show you how to sharpen it. And depending on the crowd, hopefully you leave with your tool sharpened, but you'll certainly get a basic understanding. And it's addictive.
Once I figured this out, it was really... everybody that took the class with me, they all say the same thing. That we talk amongst each other. Can you believe how many loppers you have or how many pruning shears you have?
So. I think we might have taken the class together, Brian.
I think we did.
And one thing I realized is that how easy it is. You know, I was counting on my husband to do this, and I ended up going and buying another pair when they got dull and counting on him again, and I never had a sharp tool. But I have a large backyard, and it takes nothing to sharpen a tool. I mean, it is just really easy, and I find when I go out now, I sharpen my tool either when I finish gardening, every time I finish gardening, or when I start, and it's easier on my hand, I didn't think it was hard to do before.
You don't realize as it starts to slowly get dull, the amount of pressure you're using.
And now it's snip, 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 and it's easy to do. Ladies, if you've ever been afraid of sharpening tools, oh my goodness, this is an easy thing to do. It takes less than a minute if you keep it in good shape all the time, and it just saves your hands, and it's really changed how I garden.
Yeah, half the class was ladies, and half of the conversations I have are with them about what I just shared with you, about how many tools we actually have, and how nice they all look now.
And how easy they are
and
to
how
sharpen.
Easy it is.
It's like, I wish I would have known that years ago.
What I find myself doing now is when I'm done pruning, since I have that entire kit, you just run by and get the file out and just touch them up a little bit, maybe throw a little more oil. I had got a pair wet. This was just a couple of weeks ago, and I was so conscious of it, I immediately dried them and oiled them and made sure they were right. You kind of get proud of your tools like you should have all along. It's just an awareness that changes your perspective on the amount of tools you have and how you care for them.
And you know what else I realize is I really don't have to be perfect on it. You know, I don't have to be perfect, and it's simple. You could be perfect if you like, and that's great, but I'm not a perfect kind of person. But I tell you, my tools being 90%, 100% sharper than they were, it makes my life so much easier. So we're at this again. It's Saturdays at South Coast we're talking about, and it's here at 7601 Irvine Boulevard. It's open to the entire family on April 2nd, and it is a fun event.
9 to 11.
It's a minimum fee. I can't mention it on the radio because of what our kind of a show, our public affairs show, but it is really a very small fee to come and do it. It's just covering costs.
Yep.
And come join us. But let's talk about a little bit more. We're also going to talk about something called integrative pest management.
IPM.
Brian, what is that for the layperson?
Everybody loves IPM once you learn how to do it. It's basically a way to control insects without just doing blatant spraying of insect killer or malathion or whatever your weapon of choice is. The one I always think of is snails, for example. If you were just putting snail killer randomly everywhere, you're not really doing good pest management. You need to find the source. In my case, it's Agapanthus. I'm sure that's the case everywhere. They love Agapanthus. So I've learned the source of them. I'm not removing Agapanthus per se, but I'm making sure the bottoms of them are a little bit cleaner, and I will use some form of snail killer, but I just keep it at the Agapanthus to control them, and it controls it throughout the yard. So that's a way to have pest management that's integrated to a specific source, like the example I just gave. So, it applies to every insect out there.
Yeah, another thing we do with snails is I go out at nighttime, and it's amazing, especially this time of year. Go out at night with a flashlight, you could stomp on a whole bunch of them. If you're having problems with snails, they'll be out there. And it's a great way to get rid of them. And it gives you an idea that you really have that because you don't see it so much during the day.
Or you can do whatever you want with them. I shouldn't say this, but my wife actually, with her gloves on, she likes to squeeze them. She just gets some satisfaction because once they destroy some of her stuff, she gets satisfied.
Yeah, but and our chicken people.
And the chicken, yeah. But for the squeamish or somebody who just wants to deal with them, you just get a jar and put some soapy water in it. And as you collect them, you just throw them in that jar and then throw that jar in the trash, and that takes care of them without having to smash them or stomp them or anything like that. Depends your level of hate for them, I guess.
This is true. You know, one thing I love about integrative pest management is I've learned a lot more about how to balance out my yard where I really don't need as much chemicals as I used to. And with having a balanced yard, I don't need that as much. And it's not saying that I won't use chemicals, but the need for chemicals is less.
Absolutely. It makes a big difference throughout, and that's very, very true. That's the whole idea, is to reduce the amount of of chemicals to you know, control your insect population. There's a lot of natural predators out there, you know, green lacewings and, of course, lady beetles and the like. But people don't realize, and another part of integrated pest management is an awareness. A lady beetle, we all know a ladybug, what that looks like when it flies by, but we don't know what it looks like in the larva stage, and it looks very, very similar to mealybugs. So you could be thinking you have mealybugs and destroying them, and in fact destroying a natural bug predator. So it's an awareness overall.
Wonderful. So that's another interesting thing to do. And then we also have a group called Ask the Master Gardener. And I know I still have lots and lots of questions, and I bet our listeners have lots of questions. And this is a safe place to come and ask questions.
Ask the Master Gardener is essentially a junior version of our Master Gardening booth that we travel throughout the community at every garden event you can think of. You know, the Orchid Show, the Orange County Fair, the Vegapalooza. There were Master Gardeners recently at the Arboretum. They'll be there for Green Scene. It's just public awareness and allows you to ask a Master Gardener that is going to give you information that is research-based and peer-reviewed. So it's not a guess or an opinion. You will be handed a piece of paper. Excuse me, let's say aphids, for example. You have an aphid problem, you'll end up with an 8.5 by 11 dissertation on everything you need to know about aphids. And because it's researched here at the through the University of California system, it's accurate to our area. It's not something that they studied in Nebraska, and then that becomes distributed throughout the United States. So it's localized information that is professionally done. It's very interesting. So if you had a question about anything, ask. But don't bring any insects with you, please. This is a research station.
Oh, yes. I'm glad you mentioned that, Brian. This is a research station, and we have to be very careful what
extremely cautious.
Extremely cautious on what we bring in here. So do not bring any of your diseased plants, any insects that you have, or any of that here. Take a picture of it if you'd like to bring it
Perfect.
In. Take Perfect. A picture of it. We'd love looking at it. Take, you know, just do that. We really need to protect what's in here, and that's the reason why it's not open to the public, or one of the reasons why it's not open to the public most of the year, because we have a lot of projects going on here that are multi-year projects, and if we get some infestation of something that somebody brought in, we could be a whole 10 years of work could
yeah,
be down the
drain.
Yeah,
there could be a lot wasted. So they're here to ask, like we said, is just don't bring anything with you.
But, pictures, snapshot, you know, your cell phone. Take a picture of whatever it is, if it's a critter or if it's a disease or if you think it's a bug. Just take a picture of it, bring that picture in, and we got a lot of really good people that are good at identifying. And once they identify, they can tell you what to do with it. So that's great.
Perfect.
Oh, this sounds like such a fun event. You got 2 hours, and 2 hours, and there's a lot of things to do in the 2 hours. We also have kids projects here. Yeah, I know it's Saturday morning. It's on April 2nd from 9 to 11, and I know it's kind of early for some people, but I know a lot of people have some kids that have a little bit of energy, and these things are made for kids, too. It's made for the adults, and it's made to kids. It's a family kind of day, and they're going to be doing some kids projects. What's that about?
That's just a chance to get their hands dirty. A project, in this case, I think they're matter of fact, we're gluing seeds and making different designs onto different projects. And, you know, kids in general, they love the garden, although you don't realize it. Last February, 2 months ago, when we had our first Saturday at Screck, we were potting up succulents in jars where you could see the different layers of material. And then the kids would tie a bow around it. And every kid that left with that, big smile on their face, and they're real happy. I think you know I worked at a volunteered, I should say, at a school garden for 12 years, and you don't really realize until you lead them to the garden just how interested they are once they get their hands dirty and see something that grows. It's very exciting. So we've made it a point to make sure that all the kids have a chance to get involved.
Plant the seed for the future.
Yeah.
So it's always fun. No matter what it is, you always hear kids laughing and having a good time, and we love having kids out here.
One of my favorite things about school garden, and I talk about this every chance I get, and carrots are a good example. So, of course, a kid knows what a carrot is, and he saw the package, and he knew we're planting, he or she were planting carrot seeds, and they watched the carrot grow. But when they pull it out of that ground, that sheer joy they have of seeing that carrot, it's almost magical, even though they know what a carrot is and they know what they were growing. It's just the fact that they pulled it out. It really seems to, that awe and ooh, and it's touching. It really is.
And then it tastes better.
And they love it, yes.
They love it. The vegetables they never eat, if they get to grow it, all of a sudden becomes a vegetable that they will eat.
We're off subject a little bit, but another thing I used to love to do is because kids, and this was mostly second graders, they never would eat a beet, of course. But when you're growing beets and watching them grow and all the time announcing when we eat these, we're going to have who's got the reddest teeth contest, they actually are excited and can't wait to pick the beets, which we cook right then in the classroom in a little burner. And they're in line to see who can get their teeth red, and we fool them into eating beets. So,
how fun is this?
So we like to make sure, I'm repeating myself, that you know we have
bring the, stuff bring for the, kids. The kids.
Bring the kids, please.
We're also, I know a lot of people have trees and large plants, and they don't know how to prune them. And we're going to give a demonstration on proper pruning. Is that correct?
That's correct. We're going to have just a real quick little demo on how to prune and maybe a little awareness of where to prune, why to prune, and even though it will be April, the major pruning for the stone fruits, the plums and the peaches and so forth, that's done in January and February, but there's plenty of summer pruning to do, and it makes a proper pruning, I think, is one of the most important things you can do, whether it's an orchard tree or a citrus tree or just a tree in general. Proper pruning makes a significant difference for the better.
Yeah, since I've learned how to prune, it's made my yard easier to deal with.
My orchard's the best it's ever been since the master pruning class.
Isn't that great?
By far.
Yeah, mine too.
All this time being a master gardener all these years, thinking, well, I know how to prune. I really had no idea.
Yeah.
So just, there's so many individual things here that can just, you know, awaken you a little bit and just, you can kind of get a feel for it. Where do you go to get a pruning demo?
Exactly.
Or learn to sharpen a tool?
Yeah. Well, we also have tours going on here, too, don't we?
Exactly. We have three demonstration houses on the property, and the very front of our research station also is planted with California natives, all labeled, all with different water needs, in particular the three houses. You go down the row, and there's a little, I think there's no water, there's always a little water. A little more water and a little more water. Basically all water savings, but at different degrees of how much water you use. And they all look great.
Yeah. If you're thinking about redoing your yard or making it more drought-tolerant kind of yard, this is a great place to come and look at plants because you see them in the nursery and they're 3 inches by 3 inches or a foot by a foot, but you really don't get an idea on how big they get. In here we have them growing to the size that they really get, and you could come in like and look at things and go, wow, that would look good in my yard, or, oh, I was thinking about that, but I really don't want that. That is really too big for my yard. So it's a good way to come and just check things out if you're thinking about doing something different in your yard, and it's before you spend all the money and time and energy changing something. Why not look at it first and see how you think?
And they're all labeled.
And they're all labeled.
Everything's labeled. So
and if
there's
you have,
no,
and
I wonder
you have,
what that is. Huh? There's a nice label out
there's
there.
There's a nice label, and if you have questions about it, the place is going to be full of master gardeners.
Right, and there will be a docent tour, and I believe that's Marcia, and she's been out here a long time. She can really
she
help you.
She knows her stuff.
She certainly does. Hey, could I change direction here a little bit?
Absolutely.
Because we're having master food preservers as part of our list of venues, and you're a master food preserver. Let me be the interviewer for a minute.
Okay, go for it.
Katrina, tell me about what you're doing with the master food preservers.
Well, master food preservers is under the same realm or the same umbrella as master gardeners, and I happen to be both a master gardener and a master food preserver. And what do we do with our bounty after we get it out of the garden? Well, we preserve it. And there's wonderful ways of preserving food, and they're going to be talking about fermentation and how to ferment your food this time, and it's wonderful. You can make sauerkraut, you could do carrots and hot peppers and onions, and it's a way to take your bounty and put it in in a way that you could have it for over a long period of time.
And there seems to be more and more conversation these days about the health benefits of fermented food.
Oh. Could
you tell us about that a little bit?
Oh, well, I can talk about that a long time. But our body, it actually helps balance our body, and the probiotics, people are going out buying probiotics because it's so good for our entire body, not only our stomach. And you can get much more by the fermentation in the food. And they're going to do a demonstration here and show you really how simple that can be. And Master Food Preservers also deals with, not only jams and jellies, but we deal with pressure cooking food. And every time we have one of these, we're going to do a demonstration on something different as far as food preservation. And I know the fermentation one is extremely simple. You can make it. It takes a little while. You leave it alone for a while, and then you could leave it in your refrigerator and eat it over a several-month period. So that's another fun thing. And if you're thinking about becoming a master food preserver or even a master gardener, we're going to have some master gardener days open for if you'd like to apply for the class. And you could also ask what it's like to be a master gardener at this show, and how do you become part of master gardener if that interests you.
Now, I understand there are two methods. There is the bath method and the pressure, which you had mentioned earlier, the pressure cooker method. What's essentially the difference between those two?
Well, I think we're running out a little bit of running out of time.
All right.
But I think what they're going to have to do if they want to know the difference,
hey, there you go,
is they got to come on
down.
That's
our hook.
That's our hook.
See? That's perfect.
If you want to know more about preserving canning food, come on down, because they'll talk to you about that. They also, Master Food Preservers, have classes besides what are you coming to here. And if you'd like to learn different methods of preservations, come on down. We have flyers on it, and we have dates that are available if you want to learn how to do that.
Well, let's throw our last hook in then quickly.
Let's do it.
We're giving away tomato plants.
You're giving away tomato plants?
Giving them away.
No.
Come on down. One per attendee.
Everybody gets a tomato plant.
Everybody gets a tomato plant.
How many
and we'll tell you how to plant them.
Well, how much better can that be? How many tomato plants did you grow this year, Brian?
Oh, man. I'm not sure how I volunteered into this one, but we are a volunteer group. I'm babysitting 1,400. Well, I'm actually growing them with the assistance of many, many, many of my fellow master gardeners. 1,400 tomato plants.
1,400 tomato plants.
1,400 4-inch pots. 1,400 labels.
So there's going to be a lot of different ones, and they're going to let you choose them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's tomatoes that grow really big that would be great in a yard that has plenty of room. And sometimes you need to garden in a pot. And there's other tomatoes that are better to plant in pots. And just because you live in a house or a condo doesn't necessarily mean you can't grow
Correct.
Tomatoes.
They do very well in pots.
They do really, really well in pots, but you want to make sure you don't get one that grows 10 feet tall, and the master gardeners here can help you out
with
that.
We'll make sure we direct you in the right direction with your tomatoes.
Brian, I can't believe our show's almost over.
It
is fun. Can you tell us again the name of the project?
Saturdays at South Coast Research and Extension Center. We call it SCREC. Saturdays at SCREC. It's April 2nd. That's a Saturday. It's between 9 and 11. It's located at 7601 Irvine Boulevard. And there are a few Irvine Boulevards through town, and I understand from our last time that MapQuest or some of these might lead you to the wrong one. So we're east of the 241, 7601 Irvine Boulevard, just east of the 241.
And that's Saturday, April 2nd from 9 to 11. I would get here a little bit earlier than that so you could park. It's a lot of activities in 2 short hours, so you might have to choose which one you want to go to. So get park your car, come on in, and then you could look over and see what you want to go to and when you want to go to it. And it's just a nominal fee just to cover some expenses, and I think you'll have a wonderful time. Everybody that's been to it has thoroughly enjoyed it, and we really look forward to seeing you. And, Brian, I thank you for taking your time and talking to us today and sharing with us your knowledge and wisdom and about your project.
As always, it's my pleasure, and we look forward to seeing everybody on Saturday the 2nd.
All right. See you all Saturday the 2nd.